Kilda, and welcome to another teaching from Every Nation Christchurch. For more information and resources, visit everynation.org.nz. Check us out on Facebook or download the Every Nation Christchurch app on Google Play or the App Store.
It's really great to have you. And I love ministering on Resurrection Sunday because He is risen. Oh, there are three of you. I would expect 100 people to get excited. And those watching online, you're jumping in your lounge. He is risen. Amen. Amen. And you know, that's what separates Christianity from all the religions in the world today, is that we serve a living Savior. We don't serve a dead person or a rock or a tree. We serve a living Savior because He is alive today. Amen. And so I want to share with you this morning. Where's Dr. Bernard? I know Dr. Bernard loves me to speak a message that I do quite often on Resurrection Sunday. The title is A Lot Can Happen in 3 Days. So I hope I don't disappoint him and others, because I felt this morning I'm going to approach resurrection from a totally different perspective. And I hope it refreshes your soul. I hope it's life-changing for you. And I hope it will give you revelation information to be able to share with other people. I don't know how many of you have watched the series on TV this week about the Gloria Vale situation and what was happening there. It's actually quite eye-opener. If you do get a chance to watch, do take a moment and watch it. It'll open your eyes. There's something about when you get the testimony of people that have been in it. You know, we can read in the newspaper and we can read a stuff, but when we hear a testimony of somebody who's been in it, who shared the experiences of abuse, control, manipulation, and whatever happened in this cult over on the West Coast in New Zealand, it becomes real to you, somebody's testimony. How many of you can agree with that? And so I want us to look at the testimony of what happened over 2,000 years ago, because there were people at each one of these events, and they told the story. And when you hear the story of what actually happened, because people were there, it gives it a greater impact and greater clout because they were there. It wasn't like the Bible wasn't written as some sci-fi fiction or a novel that you and I can just relax in our lazy boy, having a glass of Ribena and enjoying the Bible and the wonderful stories. Because people were at these events. There were people at Jesus' death. They observed it. They observed Him being nailed to the cross, a spear being put into the side. They saw Him being buried in the tomb. And then they saw the resurrection, and because they came to the tomb and the tomb was empty. Who can say amen to that? You know, N.T. Wright, and over the next 200 years, if God still gives me permission to preach, I will make reference to this guy, because he's one of our master's professors that we have to read his books, brilliant theologian. And he says the following: Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project to colonize earth with the life of heaven. This, the resurrection, is really the start, I believe, of Christianity and what God has for us, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And as I was trying to make this story alive to you, and I say the next illustration with respect and with honor, can you imagine, just think for a moment, if you attended a funeral on Friday of someone that you know, that you love, and you saw them being buried. And then on Sunday, you get a call and say, Bernard, your Uncle Johnny is walking at the mall. I saw him. And so many people saw him, and you get calls and you get Instagram posts to say, we saw your Uncle Johnny at the mall. And this is what happened well over 2,000 years ago. The people witnessed Jesus on the cross. They saw him being put in the tomb, and they saw, and then they came to the tomb and it was empty. And so this morning, I want to look at the what actually happened many, many years ago. What makes the resurrection of Jesus historical or historically factual and credible? And what does it mean for you and I today? What actually happened many, many years ago? We're going to be looking at testimonies of people who witnessed, who saw Jesus. We're going to have a look at eyewitnesses' account. And we're going to look at how the authors in the New Testament was inspired by God to actually write these accounts. Because there were people who saw it and wrote the account. It was so great coming to church this morning, and I saw Roche. Where's Roche? Is she here? Oh, she's in Children's Church. And she was here. She was sitting in the front chair, and she was journaling. And I thought, it just reminded me of the gospel writers of old. They would see something, hear something, witness something, and then they would write the gospels. This is hot water to make my throat last the next 2 hours. Okay, we're going to look at these eyewitnesses' account. They're going to be five. I'm not going to go into every single detail because each one is a preaching all on its own. And I just want to highlight what happened and their response. And as we go through it, I want to ask yourself the question, what is your response? The first person was Mary. Say Mary. Mary. Now Mary stood and found in John chapter 20 verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb. This is on Resurrection Sunday. She came to the tomb expecting a body. And she wept. And she bent over to look into the tomb. What is your emotion when you think of Christ? Do you ever get emotional? I love watching people sometimes in worship because like Philly, I know it happens often to Philly when she worships here, there's just tears running down her eyes. I don't know if you see it, but are there tears? Are you emotional? But here Mary wept and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, I love it, woman, why are you crying? They've taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they laid him. Here, Mary thought, well, somebody has stolen the body, and we have no idea where they've put him. At this, she turned and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. You know, sometimes, friends, I really believe we can be in situations and Jesus is right there and we don't even know that he's there. Sometimes we are so blinded. Remember, Mary didn't expect the resurrection. She thought the body had been stolen. So her whole mind and her whole world was, I wonder what she struggled with because she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked a woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Sorry, that jumped ahead. Let's go back. And Jesus said to her, Mary. You remember, he changed it from woman to Mary. Personal connection. And in that very moment, something happened. Mary Magdalene, and by the way, I haven't put down all the texts. There was some discussion about the resurrection and what he was going to do. But Mary went to the disciples with the news. I've seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Now, I want you just, when you encounter Jesus, she couldn't keep quiet. She had to run to the disciples and tell the disciples what she had, what she had seen. She had just seen Jesus. Remember, nobody else had seen Jesus yet, the resurrected Jesus. And he says, I have seen the Lord. And I was really challenged this morning, well, this week as I was preparing, do I get excited to tell people I have seen the Lord? I've experienced the Lord. The Lord has made an incredible difference in my life. He's given me a plan. He's given me purpose. He's given me direction. You couldn't keep Mary quiet. She ran and told the disciples. Another account, we see Mary and the other Mary found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Most people, if you've lost a loved one, you will go to the graveside and you will go to the crematorium. How many of you have done that? Three of you. But most people do it. They were no different in those days. They just lost a very special person. And they were going to pay respect, to pray, to weep, to mourn. Because mourning is all part of the process. And they went to look at the tomb. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then quickly go and tell the disciples he has risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." Suddenly, say suddenly. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Another incredible encounter. Once again, I just chose selected verses. But the point is, the two Marys and the woman came to see. He was not there. They then encountered Jesus, and he spoke to them. And as soon as he spoke, they recognized and knew his voice. And they clasped his feet to worship him. Friends, what is our response this morning? When we encounter Jesus, and we might not encounter the physical body of Jesus like Mary did many, many years ago, but we can encounter the reality of what Jesus did on the cross for us today, is our response to clasp his feet and worship him. That's why I love coming Sunday morning. And it's not only Sunday morning where we can come together and worship him. We can set aside our struggles and our challenges of the world. And we can set aside that 30 minutes. And sometimes I wish it was an hour where we can just worship him. That was the two Marys' response, to worship him, because they encountered him. They saw him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and because that's where they'll see me." Once again, Jesus says, go and tell. You know, we see that in the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. There's always something, our response, that we have in the Great Commission. It's not encounter and stay in the encounter. It's the encounter, but go and tell. When last have you told somebody about Jesus? When last have you shared testimony of the goodness of God in your life? Turn to the person next to you and say, go and tell. These are testimonies that have been recorded of people seeing Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And the incredible thing about the resurrected Jesus, he wasn't in some weird body shape and form. Because when he spoke, people recognized him. And here we see he appeared to disciples on many occasions. So it was Mary, the two Marys and other women. And here disciples, he appeared to disciples on many, many occasions. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now, I have no idea how that happened. It's very interesting that the writer of this passage said that the doors were locked because of fear of the Jewish leaders wanting to come in and harass them. So in this meeting, Jesus appears. I have no idea. Did he walk through the wall? Did he come through the ceiling? Was his resurrected body, its composition in such a way that it can just appear and walk through? But the incredible thing is he was there. The disciples recognized him and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." And as I was praying through this passage of scripture, I just felt to encourage you, no matter what you go through, Jesus is with you. We can experience the peace that only comes from the Prince of Peace. Your life can be in turmoil, but the Prince of Peace can be in your situation and can bring peace in your heart despite the challenges you face. You've got to know that when you give your life to Christ, the Prince of Peace enters in your life and you can experience peace amidst the craziness and the turmoil of this world. And here he says, "Peace be with you." This is recorded. It was a testimony. And the author wrote it so you and I will know that Jesus appeared again to the disciples in his resurrected body. This is one of my favorite, say favorite. This is one of my favorite stories of Jesus appearing. And here the two disciples were on the road to Emmaus. Can you imagine the two disciples? Your Jesus, the person you've served, that you've walked with, was on the road to Emmaus, and now you're telling stories. "I feel so gutted. Jesus is not with us anymore. Man, did you see how they crucified him on the cross? I don't know their dialogue. I don't know their discussion. But I think if I was one of them, I would just explain how gutted I feel. You know, Jesus was so amazing. We saw miracles. He fed, he healed, and he's not with us anymore." And on the journey, Jesus just appears. But they don't know it's Jesus. Bible says that he kept his identity from them. And now they talk into the stranger, being Jesus, and tells them about what had happened. And Jesus now just quotes and he speaks from the Old Testament and he tells them some stuff. And I mean, he was amazing at what he communicated. And when they got to Emmaus, they invited him for a meal. And he sat around the table and he broke bread. And in that very moment of breaking bread and sharing communion with them, the Bible says their eyes were opened. And they knew it was Jesus. Bible says, then he disappeared. Sometimes I'd love to be in situations and then just be, I'd love to just disappear. Have you ever wanted those situations? You're in this tough situation. You say, "Lord, just take me out of here right now in Jesus' name." But somehow you just hang around and I have no idea how Jesus could just disappear in that moment. But this verse is a wow verse. And it says, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Friends, my prayer for you and I today, let's never become desensitized when we read God's word. God's word should always burn in each one of us. It should burn because God's word is truth. It's yes and amen. Colin and I, we live our lives, and we're not perfect human beings, but we live our lives according to God's word because we know God's word is truth. And the Bible says when you know the truth, it will set you free. You struggling in your parenting, come to this course, Permission to Parent, because they're going to share biblical truth that will help you in your parenting. That's going to help you, guide you, shape you. You know, we spend 7 years to become medical doctors, 4 years to become teachers. I don't know about other trades, lawyer. Osei's a lawyer. What's it, 5 years? 4 years to become a lawyer. But to become a parent, there's no training. You just, hello? I've got 4 kids now. How do I raise these kids? This is it. I pray that our hearts would burn. When you come to church, when we worship, when you hear the preached word, my prayer is our hearts, not just your heart, our hearts would burn. You know, when something burns, it ignites other people. When you are on fire, it touches and impacts other people's lives. If you're as cold as ice, people around you become cold as ice because people will pick up what you carry. I want to be on fire for God. I want to burn with His word. I want to burn with the truth of His word. I want to live my life according to His word. I love this. Were our hearts not burning? When Jesus is with you, something happens. We know the story of Thomas and the other disciples. Thomas must have heard. He said, oh, Jesus is alive. And he said, no, he's not alive. I'll be satisfied in my soul is when I can see Jesus and I can see the markings in the hands and his side. And you know what? Jesus saw Thomas. This is what he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hands and put it in my side. Stop doubting now and believe. The sad reality in life today, we have people who say, I want to see before I believe. The kingdom of God doesn't work that way. Because here Jesus told them, because you have seen, you have believed. But here Jesus said something quite profound. He said, blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. You know, us today, we're not going to see the resurrected Christ in physical form. But we in faith can believe that He did rise from the dead. And we can believe that He is the Savior of the world and the Lord of the world. And one day He's coming back for His bride, His church, which is you and I. And the challenging question is, are you ready? Friends, none of us know when our number appears on the radar of heaven, our name. And God calls us home. None of us know, but He knows. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Once again, he appears to the disciples. These are all eye testimony accounts of Jesus. The disciples go fishing. How many fishermen in the church? I know Filipinos love to fish. Okay. And all the Filipinos put up their hands. Okay. They go fishing. And Jesus comes, and these guys have been toiling all the time and caught nothing. Say nothing. You see, friends, sometimes we can toil in our own strength and get nothing. We work hard, we fish hard, and because we don't do it God's way, we get nothing. Jesus appears on the scene, and he says to them, fish on the other side. And the Bible tells us they caught so many fish. I think it was 153 types of fish. And that's another message all in itself. They had so much. Friends, I want to tell you something. When you do stuff God's way, you will have more than enough. You will have more than enough. But you got to do it God's way. Sometimes he's going to tell you to fish on the other side. It might not make sense. And you might say, but God, I've been toiling all day and night. I've been fishing. I'm tired, exhausted. And all he's saying is fish on the other side. Sometimes it's a simple instruction, a little shift in your thinking that can bring about an incredible harvest that God has for you. I want to encourage those, and I know somebody prayed for those who are trusting God for jobs. I want to encourage you, do not give up in Jesus' name. If you've put in 200 applications for a job, you go put in your 201st one. It might be that one that will get your victory. Don't ever, ever, ever give up in Jesus' name. You keep applying. You keep praying. You keep trusting God. And in this moment, Jesus invited the disciples and they had a fish fry. Oh, so a barbecue. They were cooking fish. Some of you don't understand braai. But they had a barbecue. And in that moment, he started to speak to Peter. Remember, Peter was the one that denied him? In this moment, they knew it was Jesus. He reinstates Peter for the job that he has for Peter. And he asks the questions, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And here he says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. The question to you this morning is, do you love Jesus? Same question goes out. Same answer. Feed my lambs. Go and love some people. Go and help some people. Go share Jesus with some people. Take care of my sheep, those that are struggling. Let's be a church that will love and care and nurture the people God has entrusted to us. Feed my sheep. Now, my sheep is not a lamb anymore. Hopefully, these are grown up a little bit in the faith. But he says, go take care of them as well. Challenge them, stretch them, grow them. Go to permission to parent. Come to the men's life group. To grow. Here Jesus appears again to them. And then in Corinthians we read that he appears to over 500 people. So this wasn't just a one eyewitness account, one testimony. Here Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, after that, Jesus, appeared to more than 500 people. Of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. I mean, the word fallen asleep, they're not with us anymore. But he appeared to over 500 people. Friends, I want to say to you, this is a fact today. Jesus rose from the dead. He was seen by the women. He was seen by the disciples. He was seen by over 500 people. That to me is a historical fact and proof that our Jesus is alive. Yeah. Man, I get so excited at that. He also said, then he appeared to James. This is not this James here. He appeared to James. He appeared to all the apostles. One of the things about being an apostle in the New Testament, one of the criteria is that you had to see Jesus physically, the resurrected Jesus. And last of all, he appeared to me also. And I believe God wants to appear to you this morning. I believe he wants to appear to every single one of us in the Spirit. You see, all of these events, and I only chose what I felt was important to share this morning. Testify, he's risen. He's risen. Let me say it one more time. He's risen. The question is, and I'm going to ask the band to come up, is what about you? What about you? This morning, those of you watching on Facebook Live, those who are here, what about you? You are the most important person here this morning. And the question is, what are you going to do about the resurrected Christ? You see, there's only two options available. Accept, reject. There's no half-hearted measure here. You either accept that he's resurrected, he is the savior of the world, or you reject and say, no, not for me, which is fine. It's your choice. What needs to die in you this morning so that God's purposes can be resurrected? You can't have God's resurrection without dying to something. You can't experience the resurrection power of God in your life unless you die to something. This thing's playing up a little. Let's go one more. There's no resurrection without something dying. You can have death and no resurrection, but you can't have resurrection and no death. And for you and I this morning, what are the things in your life that you need to die to so that God can resurrect his plans and purposes for your life? Because friends, the historical facts are laid out before you this morning. It is a historical fact. And we've seen people witness his resurrection. People witness him journeying after the resurrection. They had interaction with him. And I believe there are people that need to die to themselves this morning. And what I mean by that is I have to surrender my life to Christ. So it's not my will anymore, it's God's will in my life. It's embracing God's purposes, his plans, his purposes for my life. And I want to give you that opportunity this morning. Won't you stand with me as we pray together?